This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the complete audio of this great series. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called Understanding the Meaning of a Text.
So, Jesus and the 11 disciples leave the upper room. And they're walking out of the upper room, and they go down into the valley. Jerusalem's up on a hill, and up to the other side where they're going to climb up to, on the other side of the mountain, where is the Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is going to pray, and then he's going to be arrested. As they're walking from here to here, they're walking through the vineyards of Jerusalem. And Jesus sees these vineyards, and he decides to give them an object lesson. And that's where he starts chapter 15. I'm the vine, and my Father's the vineyard keeper. And every branch that stays connected to me, it's going to bear fruit. But if you get disconnected from me, you're not going to bear fruit. So you got to stay connected to me, guys. I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be with you, but you got to stay connected to me. And he goes on and he talks about the bearing fruit by staying connected. And then at the end of that object lesson, he says this in verse 11. Look up here on the screen. Now, I've told you this, all these things about serving, about loving, about heaven, about you can always pray, about the Holy Spirit, about the gift of peace, and about bearing fruit. He says, this is all one conversation. I've told you all this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, that's called the context. Who's he talking to? Why is he saying it? To give him encouragement. Now, knowing the context, what do you think the odds are that Jesus meant when he is trying to give encouraging words to his disciples who he knows are going to be discouraged, and he loves them, and he wants to encourage them, so he says this, you guys, if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cut off from me, you're going to lose your salvation, and you're going to burn in hell. Now, I've said this that your joy may be full. Nonsense. It makes no sense at all. The context totally disproves that idea that he's talking about hell. Okay? He said, I said this that your joy may be full. You think it would be joyful to say, oh, by the way, I'm leaving, and if you don't stay connected to me, you go to hell. And you're going to burn. And you're going to be disconnected. And you're going to lose your salvation. And that's not at all what he's talking about. And as we get into this, you're going to see what that means. But the context makes that interpretation nonsense. So the first thing is you look at the verses before and after. What does it mean? The second principle of interpretation is this. You must define the key words. If you're going to get the right meaning of a Bible verse, you've got to make sure that you understand what the word means, not what you think it means. And just because it means something somewhere else doesn't mean it means that in this particular verse. Have you ever had an argument with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend because you both used the same word but meant different things by it? Nod. Those of you who are not nodding are lying. Kay and I have this argument every day. Every single day. Because I'll use a word and she'll use a word and we mean totally different things using the same word. So you just can't assume you know the meaning of a word. Words have multiple meanings. For instance, does this word have multiple meaning? Grass. Yeah, it really does. How about trip? Yeah, it has multiple meanings. How about lean? It could mean lean on me or what Pastor Rick's going to look like after the Daniel plan finishes. I'm on my way, but I'm not there yet. Okay? So the word band means a thin strip for binding, a group of musicians, a ring of elastic, or to gather together. Different meanings. Context determines what it means. If we use the word batter, you might be talking about the liquid you use to make a cake, and I might be talking about a baseball player. Batter. If we use the word bail, you might be talking about getting rid of water, and I'm talking about paying to get a guy out of jail. Same word, different meaning. You can use the same word in the same sentence and it mean two very different things. Like, that song is the bomb, but she who sang it, she bombed. Means the exact opposite thing in the same sentence. Did you know that the word, I've told you this before, the word pin in English, P-I-N, has 62 different meanings. It could mean a pin, like, you know, a stiff piece of wire with a sharp point. It could mean a thin fastener to put together bones that are fractured. It can mean a part of a lock. It can mean a baking rolling pin. It can mean a bowling pin. It could mean the number for your credit card, pin number. Okay? It could mean to take somebody down in wrestling, to pin them. Okay? It could mean a flagpole in a hole at a golf course, hitting the pin. On and on. It could mean a stylus on the dot matrix printer, a pen. It has about 62 different meanings. As a verb, you could use it to mean to pin, to give a young woman a fraternity pin in the token of attachment. I pinned her. Or it could mean I pinned him, I forced him into agreement. Or I put the blame on him for a crime. The crime was pinned on him. It could mean to immobilize a chess piece on the game. I pinned it. I pinned his king. It means to not care at all. It has all kinds of different meanings. So when you look at a verse in the Bible and you see a word, you can't automatically assume, for instance, like fire. Oh, that must mean hell. Well, not necessarily. Okay? Now, in this particular passage, John 15, the word love is used 9 times and the word fruit is used 9 times in 17 verses. Now, most of us would figure out, I think I know what love is, but what is fruit? If I'm called to be fruitful, if God expects me to bear fruit in my life, I better know what it means. What is fruit? And if he says, you know, this is what brings glory to God, then I better know what fruit is. So how do I know what fruit is? Well, people say, I know what fruit is. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, kindness, self-control, and faithfulness. Those 9 qualities, well, not automatically. You see, the word fruit is used 44 times in the New Testament. And it has at least 10 different meanings. So you just can't automatically assume you know what the word means. For instance, look up here on screen. In Matthew 3:8, the word fruit is used for the fruit of repentance. In Matthew 26:29, it talks about the fruit of the vine. And he's talking about communion wine. In Romans 7, verse 5, it talks about we bore fruit for death. He's talking about their fruits, a sinful lifestyle. Romans 15:28, we received this fruit. There it's talking about an offering of money is fruit. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That's 9 godly attitudes. Ephesians 5:9 talks about the fruit of light, which is truth, righteousness, and goodness. Colossians 1:6, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. He's talking about new believers. And in Hebrews 13:15, it talks about praise to God, the fruit of our lips. So when you praise, that's fruit. So what is it? If God says, I am to bear fruit, and John 15, Jesus is saying, now this is so important, it's one of the last things I'm going to talk about. You better know what fruit means.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
If you love what you're hearing and you don't want to miss any part of this series, then contact us right away to get your own copy. The 40 Days in the Word complete audio series by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for your personal audio library and for sharing with friends and family. You have your choice of a CD, high-quality MP3s, or flash drive. We'll send you this great audio series as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. This collection includes 7 complete, commercial-free messages from Pastor Rick Warren that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Romans 15, 28, we receive this fruit. There it's talking about an offering of money is fruit. Galatians 5, 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That's 9 godly attitudes. Ephesians 5, 9 talks about the fruit of light, which is truth, righteousness, and goodness. Colossians 1, 6, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. He's talking about new believers. And in Hebrews 13, 15, it talks about praise to God, the fruit of our lips. So when you praise, that's fruit. So what is it? If God says, I am to bear fruit, and John 15, Jesus is saying, now this is so important, it's one of the last things I'm going to talk about. You better know what fruit means. What does it mean? What is Jesus talking about when he says we must bear fruit in this context? Well, that brings up a third principle of interpretation. Here it is. I must interpret unclear verses with clear ones. I interpret unclear verses with clear ones. And in this passage, as I read John 15, we find 3 clear characteristics of fruit, what it means to grow spiritual fruit. We find them in verse 4 and verse 8 and verse 11. So let's look at it. What are the 3 characteristics of fruit? Okay, in verse 4, it says this, remain in me and I will remain in you. And remember I said remain means to stay, means to continue, to abide, to connect, to last. It's the Greek word meno. It just means to be connected. A branch that's disconnected from a tree is not going to bear any fruit. It's got to stay connected or it won't bear any fruit. That's all he's saying. Be connected to me and I'll be connected to you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So the first thing I'd write down, if I'm doing a Bible study here and I'm writing down an observation, here's what I'd write down. Bearing fruit is produced by remaining in Christ. Okay, that's the first thing I write down. Now, that's not an exaggeration. That's not reading into the text. That's pretty clear. That's a very clear verse there. He says it 3 times. If you stay in me, you're going to bear fruit. If you don't stay in me, you're not going to bear fruit. If you don't stay in me, you can't do anything. So the first thing we learn is that bearing fruit is produced by remaining in Christ. What does that mean? Fruit is an inside job. You can't just tack it on to your life and pretend like you're bearing fruit. That'd be like taking a barren tree with no leaves on it and tying apples to it and say, I've got an apple tree. No. And a lot of Christians try to do that. They try to tie on good works to their life. Go, see, I'm bearing fruit. No, you're just tying it on. It's got to come from within. He said the Holy Spirit flowing in you is going to bear fruit. Fruit is produced by remaining in Christ. Verse 8 says this, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So the second thing I write down is this, bearing fruit brings glory to God. How do I know that? Because that's what that verse says. It's very clear. I'm not making this up. I'm not misinterpreting. It says that when I bear fruit, it brings glory to God. So I would write that down. Then, say, bearing fruit is produced by remaining in Christ. It brings glory to God. And then in verse 11, we get the third characteristic. I have told you this, Jesus says, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, Jesus tells us his motive for talking about bearing fruit. It's joy. So I write this down. Bearing fruit will give me complete joy. He says that, so that your joy may be complete. Bearing fruit, whatever it is, it's produced by remaining in Christ, it brings glory to God, and it's going to give me great, complete joy. Now I'm interested. I want to know what fruit is, because I want to live a joyful life of complete, complete joy. So we learned three things about it, but we're still stuck with the question, what's fruit? And if I'm supposed to bear it, I better figure out what it is. Well, how do I do that? Well, you go to the fourth principle. And the fourth principle of interpretation is this. Look for the most obvious meaning. Look for the most obvious meaning in the text. Now, this is the exact opposite of what a lot of people want to do. They want to go find some deep meaning, some hidden meaning in the Bible, some secret meaning in the Bible. If you go looking for some secret, hidden, mysterious, esoteric meaning, you're going to miss it. Because the Bible isn't full of secrets. Did you hear me? The Bible is not full of secrets. All these History Channel, Discovery Channel, the secrets of the Bible. There are no secrets in the Bible. It's right up front. Why would God put secrets in the Bible? What is the purpose of the Bible? To reveal God, not to conceal him. Why would God give us the Bible to tell us what he's like and then hide it from us? That would be stupid. The purpose of the Bible is not to conceal. The purpose of the Bible is to reveal. So there's nothing hidden in the Bible. It's just there. You just have to find it. It's obvious if you just look for it. So all this stuff about Bible codes and stuff like that and secret meanings, there's one word for that. It's when you get across a crocodile and abalone. It's a crocabalone. It's just, there are no secrets in the Bible. There are none. There's no secret code. There's no secret formula. There's no hidden message. God doesn't play games with us. He gave the Bible to reveal himself, not to conceal him. So anytime you find somebody finds some secret meaning, they're making it up. In fact, if you ever read a verse of the Bible and you come up with an interpretation that nobody else has ever seen, one thing's simple, you're wrong. Because God, for 2,000 years, has been speaking to his body, the church. If it is new, it's not true. If it's new, then it's not correct. Because if it's truth, it's been around forever and ever. And thousands of people have seen it before me, and thousands of people see it after me. So if I read a Bible verse and I come up with an interpretation that nobody else has seen, I'm wrong. It's just that simple. I'm wrong. Because God doesn't have the secrets that he holds back to keep from us so that we don't really know him. You look for the obvious meaning. You know, if you don't do this, you get into all kinds of trouble. I remember people in prophecy will often do this because they say, this means this, and this means this, and this means this. And I remember about 30 years ago, there were a number of books that came out that said, if you assigned a certain number to each letter of the English alphabet. Forget that the Bible wasn't written in English. But if you assign a number to each English letter, then the numbers, the name Henry Kissinger spells Antichrist. Well, that's nonsense. Okay, that's reading into Scripture. That's eisegesis instead of exegesis, reading out of it. Now, here's another thing. I want you to write this down. Don't try to make every detail mean something. When there's a story in the Bible, every detail doesn't have a spiritual meaning. It's just part of the story. Don't try to make every detail mean something. A lot of Jesus' stories, they're called parables. And a parable is a story with one point to it. Not five, not 10, not 20. It's got one point to it. And so when, you know, if somebody says, now this guy was wearing a red scarf, the red means nothing. It's just part of the story. The guy was, you know, on a three-wheeled bike. Well, it's because it was the Trinity, you know. No, that's, you know, you're reading stuff into that. Has nothing to do with, that's eisegesis reading into it. For instance, let's say if I wrote you a letter and I said, I bought a red fire engine at Walmart for my son Joshua, and I sent you a letter. And let's say 1,000 years from today, in another language, somebody's reading the letter of Rick. And they take this, or some people, as some, quote, Bible scholars would do today, would tear that verse apart and get all kinds of meaning out of it that's just not there. They would say, okay, now, red fire engine. Now, obviously, fire means hell. So he's talking about hell. And red means the deepest part of hell. Now, engine is how you get to someplace. So he's talking about going to hell in the red fire engine. Now, the word Joshua is the Hebrew word for God as Savior. The Greek word, you know, Joshua in Greek is Jesus. As a little boy, Jesus wasn't called Jesus. He was called Joshua in Hebrew. Jesus is the Greek word for Joshua. They both mean God as Savior. So Joshua, obviously he's talking about Jesus here, and he says, my son. He's clearly talking about the Son of God, the Savior of the world, Jesus. Now, what does Walmart mean? Okay. Wall means a barrier to hold back something, and clearly he's holding back sin. And Mart comes from an abbreviated form of the Latin word martyr, which means he's going to give his life. So what this verse means is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is going to hold back sin by being a martyr so you don't burn in red hell. No, it just meant I bought my kid a toy. You see what I'm saying? A lot of, quote, deep preaching is not deep preaching at all. It's just muddy. It's not deep at all. And they're trying to find stuff that just isn't there. What they should have said is, man, Rick really loves his son. His son likes, he knew enough to like his son, love his son. He knew what his son wanted. He could afford it, and he got it for him. Okay? That's the point.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We hope you've enjoyed today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, if you love what you're hearing and you don't want to miss any part of this series, then contact us right away to get your own copy. The 40 Days in the Word Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for your personal audio library and sharing with friends and family. You have your choice of a CD, high-quality MP3s, or a flash drive. We'll send you this great audio series as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. This collection includes 7 complete commercial-free messages from Pastor Rick Warren that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Let me close this broadcast by sharing a letter from a listener in Rome, Italy. Her name is Heshen, and she says, Pastor Rick, I've relocated to Rome, Italy, where I'm currently working at the World Food Program. I really love listening to your sermons, and I also love reading your daily devotionals, which I share with many of my colleagues serving in the field offices in Africa and in other hardship duty stations. They appreciate receiving the message very much. God bless you, Heshen in Rome. Now, did you get this? A message that is starting in Southern California in the United States of America is being sent to Europe in Rome, Italy, and then it is being resent out to other continents like Africa. That is the amazing age of technology that we live in today. And that's why your gifts go much further than they used to go even 20 or 30 years ago. Our ability to reach listeners like Heshen and her friends, not just in Europe but in Africa, is a direct result of your prayers and your support for Daily Hope. So thanks so much. And by the way, join me next time when we continue looking into God's Word for our Daily Hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.